It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Well, I'm not sure the earth is done shaking after Keontae Johnson's game-clinching alley-oop dunk to bring the Kansas State Wildcats, yes, the Kansas State Wildcats, to 15-1, 4-0 in conference play, and currently first place in the Big 12 conference standings, just four games into conference play. What Jerome Tang has done in year one is the best story in all of college basketball, and to help paint the picture on how he's done it, I bring in my good friend, Twitter follow, you need to do it, Grant Flanders of K-State Online, powered by On3. Grant, how are we today, coming after a massive, massive win against Oklahoma State yesterday?
We're doing great, Robbie. I'm happy to finally get on your show and talk some K-State hoops with you. I love your Twitter activity and the love you've shown towards the Cats. Besides, I know you haven't gotten that tattoo.
I'm doing a disservice
to K-State fans by coming on here without you getting that tattoo.
All right. So the people at home, if you don't know, I promised if I got 200 retweets and if K-State won the Big 12 title in football, I would get a tattoo. We still don't know if it's on me yet. You know, only I know if I have the tattoo. So the people at home, just imagine I have a Cats tattoo on me somewhere and it could be real, but I do love the K-State fans. I somehow just like got in lockstep with them, and like I just became a Wildcat. Every man is a Wildcat, and I became one. And I want to learn a little bit more about this team for Kansas State because it has come out of nowhere. How would you describe what this season has been covering this team? Because I had very low expectations for this team heading into the year, and just like the entire Big 12 media did, and they've blown everybody away. How would you describe the season so far?
You know, I mean, not to like toot my own horn, but I did feel like I was on an island. I had high expectations for K-State, but still somehow they're outdoing those expectations. I picked them fourth in the conference, which obviously no one was doing that. It was either ninth or 10th for K-State. Unsurprisingly, coming off of three really bad years of basketball, people and a brand new head coach that, you know, was an associate head coach at Baylor for 19 years. Hadn't had that head coaching experience quite yet at the college level. I had moderate expectations as far as that goes, but then they started putting the team together, and I really liked the pieces that they put together. I mean, covering K-State, I already kind of knew what Marquise Noel brought to the table, and he has kind of obviously outdone those expectations as well, scoring 30 plus points per game in the first three games of Big 12 play. So I knew what he was going. I knew what he could possibly bring to this team. Then when they really added, you know, Desi Sills and then Keontae Johnson was that cherry on top that made me think, okay, this could easily be a top half of the league team. But it still hasn't gone the way I thought it would, because, yes, they've won more games than I thought they would, and they're doing it in a different way than I thought they would. They're relying very, very heavily on Marquise Snowell and Keontae Johnson to run their offenses, and it's getting them wins. I expected more depth. I expected more help from the bench. They haven't needed it. They've relied a lot on, you know, about six or seven guys, and you know, sometimes an eighth piece can come into a game and show something, but they're definitely not the deepest team out there. But right now they seem to be one of the more prolific ones.
I want to go back a little bit before we talk about this current season. I want to go back to when Bruce Weber was let go. Kind of paint me a picture, like, what was the state of the program at that point? How were the fans feeling about Kansas State basketball? Because if we look at Bruce Weber's last couple of years, he hadn't gone to the tournament since 2019. It was seemed kind of stale, subpar seasons, below 500 seasons. Kind of describe what Kansas State basketball was when Kansas State decided to make the change and let Bruce Weber go.
It was, and I mean, I think this, we have, I think, decent sourcing on this, that it was pretty much tournament or bust for that last season for Bruce Weber. If he wasn't able to make an NCAA tournament and miss it for the third straight season after winning a Big 12 championship, that was it. And we have some sourcing on that's kind of where that was at. Had he snuck into the tournament, it still might have been his last year. That's possible as well, because that would have been a little unconvincing. But it was a bad state of the program. K-State fans, to put it, I can't even put it lightly, a lot of hatred towards Bruce Weber. And
hatred. That's a strong word. Hatred.
It is a strong word. I can't put it lightly, because that is really how it felt. I mean, sure, yeah. I mean, people don't know him personally, so it was, you know, outsider hatred, just, you know, stuff that's easy to ignore if you're, I think, Bruce Weber. But he didn't ignore it, and he even made that clear at the end of his time there, that the K-State fans, he was afraid to put stuff out on Twitter because of K-State fans. And looking back on it, I blame a lot of that on him, because he brought it on to himself, being the person that he is, and didn't really immerse himself into the culture the way Jerome Tang is. Jerome Tang has put his face all over Manhattan, and that has been amazing for the fans, the community. Bruce Weber did amazing things for the community, but it rarely ever saw the light of day. I mean, a lot of students will talk about the things that he was able to give back to students in a way, but Jerome Tang has taken it to a whole nother level when he got on campus with his talks with Tang and stuff like that, and dancing with the team, and just his likable personality. Bruce Weber is likable once you actually get to know him, but he was not likable if you didn't get to know him and you saw him just in press conferences, and then you saw three straight seasons of bad basketball. And it also didn't help, I have to add, that Bruce Weber came into a situation where fans were already pissed off because Frank Martin was fired. So he'd already started off on a bad foot, got fans back into the picture of liking him for a couple of years because they won a Big 12 championship with his own guys. He earned some respect with that. And then it went completely down the drain 3 years later with just, you know, three really bad years of basketball.
Yeah, and you hit a good point about Jerome Tang. I think when it comes to what kids need in college basketball, or even just like kids who are not in college basketball, just in college, the way he is bringing energy to the entire Kansas State community, he's doing those dances, he's going to frat houses and playing basketball, he's doing the things you need to do to get that community, you know, excited and go to games and be loud and be create an environment that needs to be there. When we talk about Jerome Tang and you've been around him covering this team, what is the difference between him and Bruce Weber when it comes to, you know, how he handles his day-to-day business, not even on the court? Like, what type of person is Jerome Tang to you?
You know, it's interesting. They are very different people. Bruce Weber was a lot more to himself, very humble. Jerome Tang's also very humble, but he's also super confident, and that's so obvious with how he speaks and just acts. And then I think the faith thing. I'm not a big man of faith. I do believe in God, but not to the level Jerome Tang does. And I think that is something that's also shaped him as a person and made him the exceptional person that he is. Not to say that Bruce Weber wasn't a godly man. I never really heard him say much about God, whereas Jerome Tang will bring up God all the time, which I think can play a big role on a team. I think maybe God has something to do with a 15-1 start. No one saw it coming. I mean, yes, it's great coaching, and Jerome Tang will tell you himself that he's going to give the credit to God, but I wonder if there is something there with that. But it's definitely the likability. That's the biggest difference, is the confidence in himself to be himself, boastful, and not afraid to, ruffle some feathers, I feel like. Whereas I think Bruce, that's the thing though, is Bruce didn't really care about what he said either, and he ruffled a lot of feathers. Jerome Tang is just better at saying things. That's how I'll put it. He's better at putting things in a way that more palatable to K-State fans, whereas Bruce Weber really irked K-State fans with a lot of what he said, especially when they started losing. Whereas, I don't know, if this K-State team started losing, I don't think they'd lose respect for Jerome Tang as easily as they did for Bruce Weber.
I've also been impressed by Jerome Tang. He doesn't lose his voice as easily as Bruce Weber. Bruce Weber, you can tell midway of the season, he's kind of talking like this. And it's just very, very strange. Bruce Weber's voice was very odd. So let's talk about what's happening on the court. You guys have some absolute stars right now. Marquise Noel is playing like the best player in the Big 12. I think he's surpassed Jalen Wilson right now based on what he's done in conference play. You have Keontae Johnson. You have these athletic freaks on the court for Kansas State. How would you describe how Kansas State's style of play is? What exactly is their style of play for the Wildcats?
It seems the last few games in Big 12 play, they kind of have been matching the style of who they've been playing, but it's still gotten them wins, which is, it's funny because Jerome Tang said after the game last night against Oklahoma State, they want to set the style and play their style and make the team play their style. But it hasn't really been that way. West Virginia, really ground and pound type of team, big team, physical, kind of like Oklahoma State. But Keontae mentioned that Oklahoma State was even more physical. That was a lower scoring game thanks to, physicality that K-State still was able to pull out in overtime. And then you have it was the Texas game. That's an offensive juggernaut of a team. They got some really good players. We end up seeing a NBA-like score. K-State turns it on. And then same thing with Baylor. And then we go back to a defensive grinder with Oklahoma State. So I don't really know what the style is. Yes, they're athletic. Yes, they're long. And they're fun to watch. And when they get going on offense, like they did on that Texas road trip, shooting lights out, unlike we've seen so far this season, then they're really tough to beat. And it seems they can match a team that can shoot really well and beat them that way. But then, yeah, you see an example like last night. They have a different style. The defense really stepped up because Oklahoma State really stifled Keontae Johnson and what he was trying to do, especially in that first half. He ended up in double figures, but that first half he was 1 of 7, 3 points. And, you haven't really seen a half like that from Keontae. So kudos for Oklahoma State for doing that. But kudos to Keontae Johnson for still making himself a solid defender on the other end, because we've seen some games where he plays really good offense, but he's not the best defender on the other end. So I think this team is showing that they can play a lot of different styles, thanks to the length and athleticism and luckily the skill of both Johnson and Marquise Noel. But hopefully near the end of the season, I'll have a better answer, and they're having more consistency. We're seeing, the offense is rolling every game, or we're seeing defensive grinders every game. I'd for sure love to see the former, love to see offensive juggernaut games every time, but it's unclear if that's going to be the case. I think it's going to middle out. I think it'll be about, you know, 80, 85. I mean, that's pretty high for college, but 80 points per game, 75, 80 points per game. It's also high for Big 12 basketball. That's what surprised me as well.
I think you're describing how I'm feeling. It feels like this team is led by two stars, and we still need to find out for me a lot more about the depth of this team. So the style of play, and I want to go to that game yesterday. Kansas State beat Oklahoma State 65-57. They allowed Oklahoma State to not score over 100 or 90, so that's good. That's better than the last two games for Kansas State. But Oklahoma State's not a very good offensive team, but defensively, they are fantastic. Before we talk more about that game, you have to describe the feeling in the arena when Keontae Johnson had that dunk. I was at home. I could feel the energy happening in the Octagon of Doom. Explain and describe what you felt in person.
It kind of felt like what Jerome Tang described after the game, where, I mean, I'm not going to swear on your podcast because I know this isn't the Bosco's. It's probably going out on some different airwaves. No. Well, yeah, apparently Jerome Tang said, "What the fuck?" Right as Marquise Noel is throwing the pass in the air, and because he thinks it's going out of bounds. I think I'm thinking the same thing. I think the whole crowd is thinking the same thing. It just doesn't look like it's going anywhere. Keontae Johnson really comes out of nowhere. Floats in the air, literally just pauses in the air is what it looked like to me. And yeah, it was. It was one of the craziest things I've witnessed in Bramlage, especially live. And I've seen some crazy things. You know, in the moment, I tweet it's the craziest thing. But of course, I think back, Cartier Jada dunk against KU was incredible. Windmill, Dean Wade's reverse jam to win the Big 12 against Oklahoma a few years ago. And then I also saw Marcus Foster hit a game winner on Oklahoma many years ago when I was a student at K-State in the student section. So I've seen a lot of things, but I don't know. That one was one of the, especially for it didn't have a lot riding. It wasn't an end of the season dunk like Dean Wade's was against Oklahoma to win the Big 12, but it was as close to that type of moment as you can get without it being that pinnacle of a win. It was just really crazy to see, and it really gave K-State a comfortable enough lead to feel like, okay, they're actually gonna pull away with this win. When right before that, holy cow, it looked like Oklahoma State was about to pull off a crazy upset, especially without their guy. I know we're about to talk about it more, but especially without their paint protector in Musa Cisse, or however you pronounce his name.
Musa Cisse. He's a freak so far in the league. So, no, I agree. And it was palpable. I could feel that energy in that place. And, like, I think that's desperately what Kansas State needs. I think if they can claim football and basketball in the new Big 12, they are going to be an unstoppable force, because the passion from Kansas State fans, I think, is unlike any other in the Big 12. Like, that is what they live and breathe and die for, is Kansas State athletics. I love watching them. Going to that game, though, Kansas State did not shoot very well, 35%, only making 21 from 59, but they still found a way to win. And that's where I kind of really enjoy this team. They're finding ways to win. They can outscore you in any way. They're proving they can play defense when they really need to. Oklahoma State's not a very good offensive team, but they did it. They're finding ways. You know, Marquise Noel is making these absurd three-pointers to keep, like, pulling them away. They're athletic. They get things done. But my question to you is this sustainable? I don't think Kansas State's a fluke. I think they're the second-best team in the conference. I love watching the Jayhawks. We'll see them play next week. But is this sustainable? Can we go through the end of the Big 12 season and still have Kansas State be one of the best teams right now? My guess is yes. What is yours?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be as prolific as we're feeling right now near the end of the season. And they're going to have some losses at some point. Maybe the first one's on Saturday to TCU or next Tuesday to Kansas. And I agree. I think K-State's the second best team in the conference right now. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think this is a fluke. I think they're obviously top half of the team league. The one thing that does worry me is that depth. But I think they're getting better. And they're showing, which is really cool for them, showing that they can win without their starting center, David and Gusan, who has been way more of an important piece than I really ever thought he was, especially at the five. I didn't really know that was going to be his primary position, and he has filled that role nicely. He got hurt. I can't remember exactly. I don't even think he's played a conference game yet. I think he got hurt right before West Virginia. Bay, they call him Ejiola, his last name. The center, the reserve center, has come in for him and started, and he's played pretty well. So if they can keep, you know, developing that type of depth for when Gusan gets back, and then Ejiola can be that really solid piece off the bench at the five. I always think a reserve five is super important to have, because absolutely, that's the position that it's tired out the easiest. So I definitely think that this team has a chance to win the Big 12. I mean, compete for a Big 12 championship. And at the moment, if we're talking about right in the moment that we're in right now, I think they're the best team in the league. I mean, at the end of the year, yeah, it's probably going to be Kansas, but Kansas just struggled against a suspect Oklahoma team at home.
Right.
So I do think at this very moment, K-State is probably the best team in the league. I think I agree. By the end of the year, they'll probably be the second best team. Kansas is just too good, and they don't lose an Allen. I don't care how big of a lead an opponent gets, they don't lose at home. So kudos to them, and kudos to the officials that help them get there. I'm kidding.
No, there is something magic in that fog building, and I think it's just the ref's whistle. I think that is what is very, very special there. They seem to blow it at the best moments. I think it's amazing that in football and in basketball, Kansas State is, you know, Kansas State and Kansas are now extremely competitive. We couldn't necessarily say that for football and basketball, like on both ends, for the past couple of years, or a lot of years when it comes to football. So to have the Sunflower State be like this right now, it is incredible. My last question to you is, how would you describe a K-State fan? What exactly is the pulse of the fan base when it comes to the type of person? I always hear family, culture, a lot of different words that have come from Bill Snyder. How would you describe a K-State fan? To me, incredibly passionate, loves their school. How would you describe them?
Just like a Michigan State Spartan fan.
I agree. I mean, yes.
think about it. Like, if I don't know, I mean, there's tons of other programs out there we could probably point to, but it's kind of similar in a way. Like, especially right now, we see both schools, both rivalries, Michigan State, Michigan, Kansas State, Kansas, basketball and football both doing really well. Luckily, that Michigan rivalry is to another level. They've been great at both sports for many, many years, both teams. Kansas is still getting there with football and a couple bad years of basketball from K-State. But, yeah, no, I agree. I think K-State fans are super passionate. It is funny you bring up the family stuff, because that's the most cliche thing that every program uses. And I mean, maybe Bill Snyder.
No, K-State's the only one who wants to talk about family. That's what I hear when we ask like K-State players. They're like, yeah, we get it, family. But like, doesn't everybody want to be a family?
No, K-State players are required to say hashtag family after everything they say to the media. But no, yeah, I do think they're tight-knit. K-State fans will get along anywhere you go in the country if they see each other. And I do think they spread out further than a lot of people think. People don't realize, although it's, you know, in the middle of nowhere kind of Kansas, it's bigger than I think people think, 24,000 students a year. So I really like the fan base, die hard for sure. Legacy. My dad got me into it growing up. Obviously grew up in Michigan. We talked about this before. Right. Most of my family went to Michigan State.
Yeah, for the people at home, Grant and I lived like basically an hour or less than from each other, which is just crazy. That's how small this world is.
I know. We probably have maybe seen each other on the basketball court in our youth.
Yeah, right, maybe.
But yeah, so I really like the passion of K-State fans. They're nice. I mean, they're Midwesterners through and through. They're not going to, you know, be assholes, which is fun sometimes. I'm sure you get a lot of that out there in the East Coast.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of that asshole-ish type of personality, which is fun too, but you don't get that much at K-State unless it's the Bosco boys.
Last
shout out Scott Wildcat and Greg.
No, not shout out Scott Wildcat. He's the one that made me get that damn tattoo. So not shout out you. He baited me and I took it. I will forever hold a grudge against him, even though I love him very much. All right, I said last question. This is the last question. I've never been to Manhattan, right. Kansas, and this may be the most polarizing question, and a lot of people may love you or hate you for this. I need to get a drink in Manhattan, Kansas. Where am I going? I need to get a meal in Manhattan, Kansas. Where am I going?
If you want to hit two birds with one stone, I would say Bourbon and Baker.
Okay.
That's, and you, if you've asked anyone else that question from K-State media or anyone else from Manhattan, that's always the top five on the list.
Okay.
And then if I just want a drink, you got to go down to Aggieville, which that Bourbon and Baker is not in Aggieville. It's downtown Manhattan. So go down to Aggieville. I mean, in college, I always went to the trashy ones.
That's
so
where
I won't go
in college. You have to go to the cheapest place, the place with the holes in the wall because someone punched it. You have to go there.
Exactly. That's where they play the best music, too.
Exactly.
So, but if I'm just going for a drink, Taco Lucha, great place.
Ooh.
So Long Saloon, great place. Tanner's as well. I think that's a good place to watch the game. My coworker and my boss, actually, D.Y., Derek Young, he
– Love Derek.
He watched a game recently at Tanner's and talked about how much fun it was for him. So, and he's not a – well, he is a K-State fan that claims to not be a K-State fan. So,
yeah, unbiased journalism, you have to say that in some type of way. Well, one day you and I are going to go to one of the establishments and grab a drink. It's been an absolute pleasure. You can follow him on Twitter, at Grant Flanders. He's an absolute joy. If all things Kansas State, follow him. Grant, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom on the best story in all of college basketball.
Hell yeah, Robbie. I appreciate you, and hopefully we can get me back on again later in the season. That'd be fun.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. That'll do it for today's edition of the Midwest Madness Podcast. I'll be coming out with an episode on Friday to preview the huge weekend slate of games and to recap what we saw this week. But until then, I'm out. Peace!
Podcast Network.